as my nephew used to say when he was a youngster, I'm so exciting. Instead of I'm so excited, he would say, I'm so exciting. I'm so exciting about what the Lord, I think, is going to do here. So we're going to take a little break from racial hatred, getting rid of the toxic sin of racial hatred. And we're going to do some question and answers, Q&As. And you're going to love them. They're going to be very insightful. And it's going to deepen our understanding of the Word of God. And when you deepen your understanding of the Word of God, guess what? You deepen your understanding of God Himself. Because God and His Word are one. Am I in the right place?
Amen.
First question. I'm going to wait for Miss Darlene. So you can, yeah, that's right. Take your time. Take your time. I'm exciting. I'm so exciting. Let me know when you get to, because yep, you might want to. I don't know if you want to get in a different book than the one that you got the other ones in. That's fine. Okay, so the first question is, was salvation provided after the fall and before Christ? Listen to that one now. Was salvation provided after the fall, but before Christ? Okay, so the fall was Genesis, what?
Three.
And before Christ, 1,000 years, well, some 1,000 years later, about 4,000 years later, something like that. So, most Christians, if you don't get into it, would think that it came after Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. But I'm here to tell you that people in the Old Testament were saved just like people in the New Testament. People in the Old Testament were saved just like people in the New Testament. How? Still by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Same exact thing. Okay, so help me to organize this here. And I need to calm my excitingness down. Now, the Old Testament saints were saved by looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by looking back at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's all centered around Jesus. Now, if you understood that they were saved by putting their hope in a coming Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and our hope is looking back on Christ the Messiah, if you understood that, then you'll understand this. Now, in the Old Testament, Jesus had not yet come and shed his blood for the redemption of that sin. So in the meantime, hopefully this will bring it together, what substituted for the blood of Jesus? The blood of animals. So you've heard about the sacrificial blood, and remember, there's blood everywhere, blood covenant. They sacrificing cows and bulls and goats and lambs. because it sounds just blood everywhere. But it was a blood covenant. Now, as Hebrew tells us, the blood of animals could not remove sin, but served as a substitution until the actual blood of Jesus was shed. But understand this, you could be saved in the Old Testament. Listen to this. And this is very exciting for me. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at Ephesians 2:8-9. If you have any questions, make sure you ask me, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. So I know this. Yep, I know you know it. You've read this probably 100 times. Even a sinner might have stumbled on this one a few times themselves. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. 8, 9 and 10, actually. And Miss Darlene, if I'm going too fast, I'm really excited. Just hold a hand up and say, hey.
Recording it, so right?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Ephesians 2, 8. Now, we got it? Mm-hmm. Listen to this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, comma, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, we read that 900 times. But did we ever think that that's for everyone? We just tend to think of New Testament. We think of the time now. But realize, if anybody, anywhere is saved at any time, it's going to be by grace, through faith, and a gift of God, and that not of ourselves. By grace, through faith, in Christ Jesus. Got that? No matter when it is, whether Jesus is here or not, it's still faith in a coming Messiah, still faith in Jesus, grace through faith. Or if you're looking back, it's still faith, grace through faith in Christ Jesus. But no matter, it's going to be by grace through faith, and that is not of yourself. It's going to be a gift from God, not as a result of what you can do, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. Who is that? Old Testament saints, New Testament saints. There are Old Testament saints. We, all of us are, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Yeah, it's in Christ alone. Grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone. You remember Acts 4:12? Acts 4:12, you can write it down. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Remember that? Yeah. Well, that's any time. Not just New Testament time. That's any time. There is salvation in no one else. No other name under heaven. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So how were the Old Testament saints saved? Faith, grace in Christ. Were they not told of a coming Messiah? Of a coming Redeemer? When was the first prophecy, really, of the coming Savior? Anybody remember when? Yep, will you remember where?
And when he said that her son or her child will crush his head.
Yeah, so Genesis 3, right? The fall happens in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. And then you have them, the result of sin, them trying to hide. Then here comes God speaking, I think verse 12 or 13 on down. So if you look at Genesis chapter 3, let's glance over there right quick. Or just glance there and be quick. 14 and 15. And isn't God gracious? As soon as they fail, boom, he comes with the promise of a redemption. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As soon as they fail, here comes the promise. Didn't have to do it. Verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman. This is him talking to the serpent. Verse 14, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed you are above all livestock and so forth. 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. Here it is. He shall bruise your head he shall bruise your head and he shall bruise his heel. But I think one of the translations says crush. And so therefore, right away was the prophetic utterance from God, letting us know that there's coming a Redeemer, a Savior, who's going to bring us redemption and ultimate deliverance. Here comes a Redeemer, a Savior, a Deliverer, who's going to conquer. And so therefore, they were able to begin to then place their faith in this quote, at this time, mystical Messiah, who they didn't know, but who God was going to unveil piece by piece, a little bit more. Because by the time you get off into Isaiah and them, he tell them where you're going to be born, or Hosea, some of the prophets, he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and all these, he's going to, Psalm talking about his death. You know, he really unfolds who he is. So they began to put their trust in this Messiah. Remember, all of the Old Testament saints are in the quote-unquote faith hall of fame in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham and David and Rebekah and so forth. They believed it by faith. So there is salvation, no one else. It's still by grace alone, faith alone. That's how they were saved, the Old Testament saints. And you know, John 14, please, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 14, 6. So there was no other way for the Old Testament saints to be saved but believing in grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. Because he is the way, no other name under heaven. Does that all make sense?
Amen.
He's the only way to salvation. We understand why the blood was shed of animals, bulls, and goats, and so forth. It was symbolic until the blood of Jesus was shed. And once the blood of Jesus was shed, there was no need anymore for the sacrificial system. Thank God, because that blood was shed. Blood of Jesus be my all. You better watch yourself, Ms. Harris.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. She might beat me running.
Thank you.
Glory be to God. That's the grace of God. When anybody is saved anywhere and at any time and at any point, I like it one preacher said, on planet Earth, any point on planet Earth, it is by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By the grace of God and by faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once again, they were saved by looking forward to the coming Messiah. We are saved by looking back at the Messiah who came and shed his blood. That sounds good, preacher, but can you give me some examples of some Old Testament saints? Good question. Glad you asked. Look at Abraham. We're going to talk about Abraham. Look at Romans chapter 4. I told you I need to calm down. I'm so excited. Romans chapter 4, and it's all through this. We're going to talk about one of the Old Testament saints. It is quite possible that the first saint, the first saved, set apart human, possibly, was who? Maybe. Possibly. Well, that's a hard question. I mean, I'm going to say Abel, because remember, Abel was righteous and Cain killed him, but it's quite possible then if Abel was righteous that his the mother and father probably taught him, so they could be the first possible. So I mean that's a speculation in a sense, but you can bet somewhere way early you had some people of God early, and we know for sure Abel, and I'm assuming he is, you know. There was no supernatural. I don't know whether the Lord just came out and taught him. I'm thinking it probably came through Adam and Eve. So, but it's early. Saints showing up. But here's one here that gets a little bit more in depth on Abraham. Verse 1, Romans 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Now the focus on this is that we're saved through faith and not of works. That's the focus. That's the context of this epistle, chapter 4. I just want to show you that he was saved. So I'm not looking at the focus. And he was saved, and he wasn't saved by works. He was saved by the grace of God. But look at verse 2 again. For if Abraham was what?
Justified.
What's that? What's the first step? What are the three steps of salvation?
Justification, sanctification,
and glorification. Right? Say it again. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Abraham was justified. That's saved. He was declared not guilty before God. That's what justification is. So Romans 8:1 applied to Abraham. And this is what's kind of trips us out, because we don't tend to think of all the New Testament verses applying to the Old Testament saints. But there was therefore now no condemnation to Abraham, who is in Christ Jesus, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You follow what I'm saying? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So Abraham was justified. Look at verse 3. This is how he was justified. If he wasn't justified through, by, and because of his works, how was he? Verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Yeah, that's in Genesis. He believed God. It was his faith that caused him to be saved, just like now. For by grace are you saved, what? Through faith. Grace was saved through faith. And then it goes talk about works more and more. Look at verse 6. This is in Psalm 32, I think. I'm not sure. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Verse 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven. Does that sound like salvation?
Yeah.
And whose sins have been covered. Does that sound like salvation? Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. He will not impute it against or hold it against him. That's salvation. Says it again in verse 9. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised? Because they were big on circumcision, connecting it to faith. And he's saying, you know, he said it was on uncircumcised. He says, for we say, faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while he was circumcised, but while uncircumcised. So he was saying there was nothing Abraham did. Even the ritual and the tradition of circumcision wasn't even performed yet when Abraham was accounted as being what? Righteous, having been justified. Those are all salvation words. Let's skip down to we'll keep reading verse 10. How then was it, verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them. So those who came along and believed just like Abraham, they were righteous, or they were justified, or they were saved. And you saw salvation begin to spread throughout the Old Testament. There are Old Testament saints. And the father, verse 12, sorry, to those who not only are of the circumcised, but also who follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. So the answer is resounding yes. Salvation definitely was after the fall and before Christ. Look at one more, James chapter 2, verse 23. James chapter 2, verse 23. Is this making sense, saints of God?
Amen.
Yeah. This is exciting. It just shows the great grace of God, doesn't it? He said, you know, I'm going to make a way for them to be saved now, even though the blood is going to come a lot later. They can kill the goats and the bulls and let that blood be as a symbol to remove the sin. It didn't remove the sin. It was symbolic of that. That's why it had to keep going every year. Jesus was what? Everybody remember the way it's worded? Jesus shedding of his blood was once and for all. No more need. James chapter 2, verse 23. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And I read this, because look what else was added. And he was called the friend of God. No sinner is a friend of God. He's angry with the wicked all day long. This is a friend of God. More proof that he was a saint, a saved, justified, sanctified, and righteous before God. So much so, he's called the friend of God. Make it sense, word or life?
Amen.
Look at another saint. His name is Enoch, E-N-O-C-H. So if you're doing your notes, this would be Roman numeral 2, I guess, of the saints, however. Enoch. Look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Another mighty saint of God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Then Enoch walked with God. Now, what do you think that means? Fellowship, had a relationship. Or did he just walk around the world just walking like you walk with a cat? And you walk with your dog, walk with your kid? No, that has significant meaning. Had a relationship with God. He fellowshiped with God. Sinners don't walk with God. They walk away from God. In fact, what do sinners do when God comes around? They run from God and they hide. Enoch walked with God. And he walked with God for a couple of days. How long, Mr. Arlene?
300 years.
That's a long time. After he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So out of the 365 years, he walked with God for 300 years. 24, Enoch walked with God. It says it again. Holy Spirit speaking through Moses, writing this. God's commentary is twice in three verses. He said, letting anyone who will read hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, that this guy named Enoch walked with God. He did it, says it again. And he was not, meaning not found on the earth, for God took him. Not only that, God translated him. What's the word? Rapture him. Wow. Symbolically speaking, we don't know. But some teach that God got so excited about Enoch's walk that he just took him. Come over here and be with me. That's a mighty saint of God. Look at one more. One more. Job, third saint, and we'll close. Job, that's your third one. You talk Enoch, went over, Abraham, Enoch, and now Job. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 1. Job was something else too. God just... Again, the commentary through the Holy Spirit, through the writer of Job. Thank you, Father. Job chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, we got it. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Those are four things of a righteous person. Mm-hmm. Blameless, upright, fearing God, turning away from evil. You don't think God was excited about Job? Look at verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" By the way, Job messes up the prosperity gospel. They stutter and fumble all over themselves trying to explain this. Because why would God suggest Job when you're supposed to have health and wealth and prosperity and so forth? You're missing the point. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, my slave? For there is no one like him on the entire earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." So he opens up the commentary, verse 1, saying it through the writer. Then this is a quote from God himself about Job. This is a commentary on Job's life, a servant of God, a slave of God. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 20. Slide down to verse 20. So from verse 13 all the way to verse 19, the devil just tore up his whole life. Killed all 10 children, killed all his economic gain, took it all away. He's in great grief. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and did what? Worship. That's a man of God. You don't do that if you're not saved. You can't do that if you're not saved. And then verse 21 shows us how Job worshiped. What he said in his worship, in his offering of sacrifice to God from the fruit of his lips, from the depth of his heart. "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He worshiped him. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Amazing commentary on a mighty saint of God. Amen. You can't do that unless you are born again. So you're saying, well, then salvation then you mean is God making spirits alive? That's exactly right. He was making them alive in the Old Testament. That's the point I'm making. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. This is the third time God is commenting on the life of Job. Chapter 2, verse 3. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God, turning away from evil." Then he adds, "And he still holds fast his integrity." Yeah. "Although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." He still is holding fast his integrity. Is that not a powerful testimony of a saved Old Testament saint? Yes. And mind you, an Old Testament saint is just as saved as a New Testament saint. There are no degrees of salvation. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, they knew less, but as far as living right, they knew to live right. We know to live right, and we ain't still ain't living right. Some of us aren't. Got all this information. Now we get too much information, in a sense. I remember one preacher said, we had to have help getting confused concerning the Word of God, because it's simple. It's the folk teaching that mess everything up. The Word of God is simple. Love your neighbor as yourself. Husband, love your wives. Wives, honor your husband. Children, obey your parents. If you're a worker, honor your boss. Just simple things. We complicate matters. And one of the reasons we do that is because we don't want to do what the Word of God. That's, in my opinion, don't want to do it. And so we want to try to skirt things and figure out how to do this and how to do that. Instead of saying, okay, you said don't lust, don't lust. Don't have sex outside of marriage, don't have sex before marriage, then don't do it. Don't try to go around it and get your feelings met. Period. They had way less information. We know way more about Jesus than they ever knew. And yet, Hebrews 11 is filled with the mighty saints of the Old Testament. Daniel and David. Daniel, throw me in the lion's den. How in the world? You don't do that unless you are born again. The teenagers. Throw us in the fire. We will not bow down. O king. David, how in the world you are running from this clown? We got the covenant. They don't. Give me that sling, dude. By faith, not by sight.
Amen.
They walk by faith. Abraham, go. Where? I'll tell you. Just go. By faith he went.
Amen.
I don't know about you, man. This has just set me on. Them old dudes was on point.
Yeah.
Abel, the first murder for the cause of Jesus Christ. Because he was righteous. And we know about Abel. Even today. Glory be to God. Let's bow our heads. Father God. Father God. Father God. You are a savior. You are a savior. You are a redeemer. You are a deliverer. You are super gracious and ridiculously merciful. Hallelujah. You had mercy on a people who were not a people. We thank you for it. We are forever grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.